Gateway Christian Center. Experience life.
Hallelujah. All right, so this morning I'm going to be sharing on basics of ministry, part one. Basics of ministry, part one. Basics of ministry, part one. Hallelujah. Amen. So, the first question I want us to consider this morning is, why teach on ministry? Why do we teach on ministry? So I want to give you the following reasons why we teach on ministry. Ephesians chapter 4 verse 11. Ephesians chapter 4 verse 11. We teach on ministry because that is the assignment of the fivefold. Now, I'm going to be explaining, so just follow me carefully. There's what is called the fivefold ministry. Amen? When you say the fivefold ministry, this means the pastor, the teacher, the apostle, the prophet, and the evangelist. Praise God. These people is what is called the fivefold. These people, when you go to the Old Testament, you will only hear of the prophets. Is that okay? In ministry, there was only what? The prophet. Now, the prophet in the Old Testament had all these five ministries within that prophet. So, every time in the Old Testament, you hear them saying the prophet. So, the prophet was the one who spoke the intent of God for that season, operating the office of a prophet. He was the one that taught the law. Is that all right? And then, of course, we had the priest. But the priest was not a daily thing. So, we had the office of prophet. But in the New Testament, the fivefold minister, that office of prophet is broken down into the fivefold ministry. Praise God. So now look at Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4 says, and he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. Verse 12. For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Now, the way King James puts it is not very correct. That place where you saw for the perfecting of the saints, the word perfecting there means for the maturing of the saints. In other words, their assignment is to bring up the saints to a place of maturity in God. In fact, let's go down a little bit. Let's go to verse 13. Let me show you where God wants you to be in Him. The verse 13 says, till we all come in the unity of the faith. Now listen, it did not say till we all come in the unity of the doctrine. It says until we all come into the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect, the word perfect there means unto a mature man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. In other words, there is a stature that Jesus has. Pastor Oche, come, let me use you. Let me have Charity come. The way you are smiling, you know I was going to go to your place. Hallelujah. So, Oche, open your hands like Jesus. Not on the cross, just like Jesus. Now, this is Jesus. Are you hearing me? Come. Every one of us, can you go down on your knees? Thank you. Every one of us, when we get born again, go down a little bit. When we get born again, we are like this. Jesus is like this. Now, the desire of Jesus, and listen to me, this is the intention of discipleship. Are you hearing me? The Bible says, till we all come unto the measure. This is the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. So the desire of God is that every one of us will now grow. Every day you are growing. Every day you're growing until you reach, you become like Jesus. So as long as you are alive, the intention of God is that you must arrive at that point that you look like Jesus. Is anybody hearing what I'm saying? Is anybody getting what I'm saying? So the Bible says in the book of Romans, thank you guys. The Bible says in the book of Romans, to them who he foreknew he also called, and them Romans chapter, give me Romans chapter 8, let's look at verse 30. Romans chapter 8, give me verse 30. I'm coming back to this scripture. Romans chapter 8, verse 30. Moreover, whom he did predestine, them he also called. And whom he called, them he also justified. And whom he justified, them he also glorified. Verse 31. What shall we... No, go back to verse 29. Verse 29, not verse 30. For whom he did foreknew, he also did predestinate. To what? To conform. To who? to the image of his son. So, the intention of God is that we will all grow and become like his son. The image of his son. Now listen, that image of his son has always been God's original plan. For when God created man, the Bible says, and God created man in his image and in his likeness. When man fell, what did man lose? The image and his likeness. When Jesus came, what is the assignment? That we will have the image and his likeness. Are we understanding that? So your goal, your number one goal as a believer, is that I must always walk until I arrive like to be like Jesus. That's your number one goal. That's your daily walk. Are we understanding that? Now, the assignment of the pastor, teacher, apostle, prophet, evangelist is, let's go back to Ephesians chapter 4 verse 11. Let's go back to Ephesians chapter 4 verse 11. He gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. Yes, verse 12. For the perfecting or for the maturing of the saints. Now, in the real rendition of this scripture, there is no comma after saints. It is for the perfecting of the saints for the work of the ministry. Give me New Living Translation. New Living Translation. Let me tell you something. If the church in Nigeria gets this, we will fix every problem that we have in Nigeria. If the church in Nigeria, the problem of the church in Nigeria is that we haven't gotten this. And I don't blame just the members. I also blame we, the pastors. Because the members, and that's what I'm saying, we need to know this. Look at what New Living Translation put it. It says, their responsibility. That is the responsibility of the pastors, the apostle, the teacher, the evangelist, the prophet. Their responsibility is to equip God's people to do his work and build up the church, the body of Christ. Look at your neighbor, say, it's my responsibility. Tell your neighbor, it's my responsibility to do the work. Look at it. It's to equip God's people to do what? To do his work and build up the church. Tell somebody, it's your responsibility to do the work. Are we understanding what I'm saying? When you go for a match, what's the responsibility of the coach? To train the players. The apostle, the pastor, the teacher, the evangelist, the prophet, they are coaches. That's the assignment. Hallelujah. That's the assignment. The assignment is to coach the members. Is that okay? You see, the only way we can do the Great Commission, you see, let me tell you something. If I walk out of my house, if I come out on this street now and I begin to talk to somebody, the moment I'm approaching anybody on this street, they know I'm going to preach the gospel. They know before the end of that conversation, I will say something about Jesus. So the first thing, anybody that knows me, sees me coming, he organizes himself. And you get me? They won't give me the opportunity to say anything. But when you are in your office, and you know how I look for trouble, for civil servants trouble, and you are eating masala and granuts, you are the best person to preach the gospel to that person that is in your office. Are you understanding me? So the gospel is supposed to... I was talking to Dr. Enna recently. He was telling me that there were so many deaths were being recorded early this year. We saw that spirit coming. There was so much death that was being recorded throughout the year. So he told me, he said, an accident and emergency, that the place was just full. People were just dying and so on and so forth. So I said to him, I said, when you get there and you see that, arrest that spirit. You know, God put you there for a reason. See, listen, you are on assignment. You are not just a doctor. Yes, you are a medical professional, but you are beyond that. You are God's ambassador in that location. Your assignment must be, are you hearing what I'm saying? Your assignment must be to arrest. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Something was about to happen in this city many years ago. And we just finished midweek service that day. I'll not forget. We just finished midweek service. And we just came out of the hall. And the Lord said to me, move to this place. Go and stop this spirit from entering the city. So I took one of the pastors and we drove that night. We went to that location. We stopped in the location and we said, this spirit will not enter the city. And listen to me,
That spirit never entered the city. It tried. Then it was coming the second time. It stopped in the very direction we went to pray. God didn't put you on the earth for nothing. He put you on the earth for an assignment. Are we understanding what I'm saying? The Great Commission will be fulfilled when each of us, in anywhere God has put us, we begin to advance the gospel where we are. And if you're going to advance the gospel, you must understand the work of ministry. So that's our responsibility. Hallelujah. That's our responsibility. Why do we need to know about ministry? We need to know about ministry because many believers do not know what ministry really means. Next month, I'm going to be teaching on what ministry is not. You know, I say one Sunday, first Sunday of the month. So I'm doing it this Sunday and I'm going to do it first Sunday of next month. What ministry is not? Many people don't understand ministry, and because they don't understand ministry, they are afraid of ministry. The moment you say ministry, the picture that comes to a person's mind is this man that holds microphone on Sunday morning. And that is not ministry. It's an aspect of ministry, but it's not ministry in itself. Is anybody understanding that? It's not ministry. And because many people don't understand it, once you say ministry, everybody is afraid. Everybody is afraid. Number three, we need to know about ministry because the final judgment of the believer will mainly be about his ministry. You need to understand this. Listen to me. You know that story they tell us that when on the last day, there's going to be a long line. How many of you know that story? There's going to be a long line and there's going to be one big screen. Anybody in church that knows what I'm talking about? And they are going to show all the things you did. Please, don't look for me. I'm not going to be on that line. If you are looking for, I'm not on that line if you are looking for me. Listen to me. When you became saved, the Bible says you have moved from darkness into light. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You have moved from what? Darkness into light. There is therefore now no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus. Is anybody understanding that? There's going to be one judgment for me. One judgment for me. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 verse 10. There's going to be one judgment for me. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 verse 10. Media. Because of God's grace. No, don't use Living to the New Living. Give me my King James, except I ask you. According to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another builded thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. Yes? For other foundation can no man lay that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if any man build upon this foundation gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, yes? Every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. Next verse. If any man's work abide which he had built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. Next verse. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, so as by fire. So listen to me. Please let me announce here that please, not all of us will live in the same area in heaven. I tell your neighbor, where is your house going to be like? When we get to heaven, he says, where is your house going to be? Are you hearing me? Are you hearing me? Where is that place in Lagos that the government is demolishing? What's the name of the place now? What's the name of that place? Makoko. That's the name of the place. Some people will be living in Makoko in Lagos. They're in heaven. They made it. They made it, but are you hearing what I'm saying? I'm looking for those people that were going to be in GRA. We're all around the same area, you know. You know, because what Jesus is building is not slum. But some people, they will live in the slum parts. He said, in my Father's house are many mansions. If you were not so, I would not have told you. I go to prepare a place. But some of you, you don't have any place. So Because the Bible says that some people's work will be burnt by fire. Nothing will remain, but they will be saved. That is why Lazarus, the Bible says, was living in Abraham's bosom. That one man of God said it was Abraham's boy scouters. I didn't say it. But when he says he was, are you hearing what I'm saying? Abraham's bosom, theologically, actually means paradise. That's Abraham's bosom. But the problem was that the configuration of the text says Abraham's, which means it was something that belonged to Abraham, that Abraham gave you some space. Is anybody understanding that? So, listen very carefully. Listen very carefully. The Bible says every man's work will be measured. It will go through fire. Everything will be tested. And I don't want to go deep into that, but let me say this. The test is going to begin with your motives. Why you did what you did. So it's not just that they said, okay, you are an usher, you ushered well. No, why did you usher well? Were you ushering and saying, I'm trusting God, that's why I'm ushering. You know, I'm single. Are you hearing what I'm saying? When you were singing, you know, did you see how thank God was singing? The way and then she was focusing one particular direction, you know, and God will. So it begins with the motive. It begins with the motive. Is anybody hearing what I'm saying? Now, so there will be judgment. I want you to understand, and the judgment is going to be the basis for your reward. Number four. Because every believer has a ministry. Romans chapter 12 verse 7. Every believer has a ministry. You can choose to do it. You can refuse or reject doing it. But you have a ministry. Romans chapter 12 verse 7. Let's start from Romans. Let's go a little bit. Let's start from verse 3. Romans 12. For I say through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly according as God has dealt to every man. Look at your neighbor, tell him you've got it. Whether you want to use it or you don't want to, it's a different ball game. Praise God. According as God has dealt to who? Every man. To every man. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 4 verse 7. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 4 verse 7. Look at it. Ephesians chapter 4 verse 7. But unto every one of us is given what? Unto every one of us is given what? According to the measure of the gift of Christ. Now listen to me. I'll go a little bit ahead of myself. But listen to me. When we say ministry, ministry is that grace. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Ministry is that grace. That grace is what is called ministry. Now the Bible says to everyone it has been given. To everyone it has been given. So everybody, listen to me. In the New Testament, everybody is a minister. In the Old Testament, we had the priests and we had the others. We had the prophets and we had the others. But in the New Testament, in the book, I think it is chapter 5 of the book of Revelations, the Bible, and chapter 1 also of the book of Revelations, the Bible says he has made us a kingdom of kings and of priests. So we are a kingdom, oh God, we are a kingdom, and within that kingdom, there is only one kind of people, kings and priests. Your kingship is upon the earth. That is dominion power. That is why the Bible will say, whatsoever you bind on the earth is bound in heaven, and whatsoever you lose on the earth, you lose in heaven. Look at somebody and tell him, you are a king, you are a queen. Understand this revelation. See, it is upon the strength, listen to me, it's upon the strength of this revelation that you cast out demons. No, you are not understanding what I'm saying. When you stand as a, are you hearing what I'm saying? When you stand as a king, you stand in the place of power. Where the word of the king is, there is power. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Listen to me. The first time I cast out demons, I was a Christian for like about 1 week. Because you have to understand something. The son of a king, no matter how small that son is or that child is, he has power. The day, see, listen to me. The moment his head come out of that womb, like even the whole body is still there, that's a prince there. If his head come out, even if the whole body has not finished coming out, that's a priest. How you handle the child from that point may mean life and death for you. Are you hearing what I'm saying tonight? So you have to understand, the Bible says we're a kingdom of kings and of what? Priests. Our priesthood is not of this world. Oh, you're not hearing what I'm saying. The Bible says, for a high priest is chosen amongst men, that he might offer sacrifices and offerings on behalf of people. Listen to me. Because you are a priest, the Bible says that priest of a necessity must have something that he offers. And that offering that we make primarily comes in the place of our prayer and our worship to God. So the Bible will say in the book of Hebrews that the book of Hebrews chapter 13, the Bible says, let us therefore come bringing with us our sacrifice of praise, which is the fruit of our lips. The Bible says, let us offer that sacrifice continually. Get me Hebrews chapter 13. So we bring, there's a sacrifice we bring before God because we are priests. So when you go into the place of prayer, you are not only going there to make a demand, you are actually raising an offering before God. Is anybody hearing what I'm saying? So you have an office of a king and you have the office of a priest. Are you hearing what I'm saying? So we're a kingdom of kings and of priests. Understand this. In the Old Testament, and you know what? The problem is that we have carried that Old Testament mentality into the New Testament. So now there are some people who are men of God. And then there are the rest of us who are the children of God. Hallelujah. And sorry to have to call names. You know, I don't do that when I preach, but I just want to help us. And the Catholic Church made it worse. So the Catholic Church, don't worry, I was a Catholic, so I can't insult them, but there are some things that I have to clarify. So the Catholic Church now brought out what is called a lay preacher. I hope you know that the Anglican Church is a break-off from the Catholic Church. So if you look at everything the Anglican does, the differences are very little from the Catholic Church. So they have what is called a lay minister. A lay minister simply means somebody who is not in full-time. Somebody who is doing his business or his work, and he is also doing some form of ministry work. But the Bible never made that dichotomy. Let me help us. Listen to me very well. Whether you are called to full-time ministry, and I'm going to show it. Whether you are called to full-time ministry or you are called to whatever, let me put it this way. Full-time ministry is not a calling. Let me say it again. Full-time ministry is not a calling. Full-time ministry is a dimension. I have walked and walked, and the time has come. Are you hearing what I'm saying? When I need to, what the work I'm doing that has to do directly with ministry responsibility has grown. And so I can no more do whether my business or my civil service work. So I now have to leave that and move into ministry fully. That's what full-time ministry is. Full-time ministry is not a calling. It's not a calling. Are we understanding what I'm saying? Full-time ministry is not a calling. The responsibility of the ministry determines whether you become full-time or part-time. But you see, when the Catholic Church now separated the priests who were full-time and other people, then they called other people lay preachers. So that increased, and you know, the Catholic Church was the first organized church of form, the form of church. So people, they were thousands of years ahead. So we just walk up into that system. So we know that this one is full time, this one is lay. But there's nothing like that. There's nothing like that. If you read scripture now, even Paul was walking. He walked from time to time. Are you understanding what I'm saying? He walked from time to time. Amen. Praise the Lord. So therefore, every one of us has a calling. Every one of us has a calling. Number 5. Because everyone has been sent into the Great Commission. And it is through our various assignments that we will fulfill the Great Commission. Mark chapter 16 verse 15. Mark 16 verse 15. The Bible says, go ye into the world. And that go ye into the world is everybody. Praise God. And it does not mean that you should drop what you are doing in order to do it. Are you hearing what I'm saying? That means that if you are frying akara, that akara that you are frying is how you go into the world. Because when you are frying akara, the world will come to you, isn't it? Are we understanding what I'm saying? If you are a footballer, are you hearing what I'm saying? If you are a footballer, you are going into the world with that skill. Are you hearing what I'm saying? It is with that skill that you go. If you are a builder, if you build, you are a laborer, whatever they call you, you go into that place. There are some guys who work for us here. They are believers. In fact, there's one particular one of them. When he comes, he changes his clothes and everything. He comes with this Bluetooth speaker. So he will put the Bluetooth speaker down. Message will finish you that day. He has everybody's message. You will hear message. You will hear gospel music. One day, I came and passed. I had, it sounds like this, like sounds like gospel. I came back. I passed again. This thing sounds like gospel. So I met Abel. I said, sir, they are Christians. So if he cannot do anything, he's preaching the gospel. Are you hearing what I'm saying? The other people that are with him, they must hear the gospel by force. Now, that one is a laborer. Don't go to bank. And now this. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Don't go to bank and then put up the phone and say, Pastor said, anywhere we are. Respect the protocol of where you work. Are you hearing what I'm saying? If you pray, God will open the opportunity for you. He will give you the channel through which you will preach the gospel. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Sometimes just your conduct is sufficient. There are some people that are watching you. They are reading. They are looking at you. They are watching. Let me tell you. I've shared this story with you before. When I was in university, we were in 400 level. The finest girl in our class. Everybody wanted to have an opportunity to go out with her. We were writing one paper like that, and the paper was tough. She was behind me. So she was adjacent to me. So while the exam was going on, I was hearing. So I didn't know it had anything to do with me. I just turned. Number two. I just turned my face. I faced my paper and I wrote quickly. When temptation comes, you have to move fast. Even inside the exam. So I wrote quickly. I submitted my paper and went out. Suddenly, I just saw some two people. They also submitted their papers. See, one of them walked up to me. He said, man of God, you tried. I said, what? He said, we saw you now. I didn't know somebody was looking at me. Sometimes it's not the are you hearing what I'm saying? Sometimes it's not the preaching. Sometimes it's your lifestyle. It's your lifestyle. When with your lifestyle, somebody will approach you and ask you concerning Jesus. Because they didn't think that anybody could say no to the girl in that class. Hallelujah. So every one of us, we have a responsibility to preach the gospel where we are. Number six, because the primary emphasis, the divine instruction that God gave us as a church this year is to preach the gospel, is ministry. Listen to me. The primary emphasis that we have this year is ministry. Number seven, it is the real reason that God blesses you. Exodus chapter 8. You can go to Exodus chapter 9 verse 1. You can go to Exodus chapter 9 verse 13. But let's do Exodus chapter 8 verse 1. Look at it. And the Lord spake unto Moses and said, go unto Pharaoh and say unto him, thus says the Lord, let my people go so that they can build houses. Is that what he says? He says what? Let my people go that they may what? That they may serve me. Listen to me. Every great thing God is doing in your life is the purpose of the gospel. It's for the purpose of serving him. Are you hearing what I'm saying? If you read the book of Zechariah chapter 1, the book of Matthew, I think chapter 1 verse 54, or Luke chapter 1 verse 54, it says, the Bible says that we being delivered from our enemies, that we may serve him with the whole of our heart. When the Lord gave me that revelation, the way I understood it was that anything that constituted an enemy to me, do you know poverty is an enemy? Hello, do you know poverty is an enemy? Do you know that sickness is an enemy? Do you know that challenges of life are enemies? The Bible says that we being delivered from our enemies may serve him with the whole of our heart. The reason God brings deliverance, the reason God helps you, the reason God prospers you, the reason God brings you increase is so that you may serve him, is so that you can do ministry. So that you can do ministry. Hallelujah. And so, you know, that's part of the challenge of the church today. The church of today is a fast food church. The church of today is a church that wants God to do something for them. They have nothing that they do for God. In fact, let me tell you something. Part of my concerns recently. There's no place people pray like this country. I hope you know nobody prays in the world like Nigeria. I'm telling you that it's on record. Nigerian church prays. But look at the content of their prayer. Lord, give me. Lord, bless me. Lord, do this for me. And when you look at what Jesus told us to pray about, most of the time he has nothing to do. It's not on the priority list. Our prayer points is not on the priority list of God. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on the earth as it is in heaven. It is after that he says, give us this day. The priority of God is thy kingdom come. Thy will be done. Listen to me, sir. It's the reason why sometimes it looks like the country is not working. Because we have switched it. We have flipped it. Our prayer is, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Give us this day our daily bread. Thy kingdom come. It is when our stomach is full, then we want to do thy kingdom come. Now, the feeling of our stomach will not fix our roots. Is anybody understanding me? But thy kingdom come is what will fix our root. Is anybody understanding me? What is the kingdom of God? For the kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. So if our government is a government of righteousness, is our government is a government that brings peace, is our government is a government that wants to bring joy, you can finish, you can do the remaining of the mathematics. Is anybody understanding what I'm saying tonight? So we have flipped it. We have flipped it. So we have massive prayer meetings. And in those prayer meetings, when you go and check the prayer points, it's all about what we can get. So the assignment of God is what he can do for us. We even get offended when we feel that God didn't do for us what we wanted him to do. You've forgotten that the very life that you have, that is the platform upon which God can do anything that you are desiring him to do, he's the one that gave it to you. So why don't you start by thanking him that you are alive first? You need to be alive to marry. You need to be alive to get a job. Are you hearing what I'm saying? You need to be alive to get a visa. So why don't you first thank him that you are alive? Hallelujah. Is anybody hearing what I'm saying tonight? So what is ministry? The word ministry is taken from a Greek word, diakonio. And diakonio simply means to serve. Look at somebody say serve. It just means to serve. Hallelujah. It just means to serve. Let's look at Galatians chapter 6 verse 10. It simply means to serve. Ministry simply means what? Service. So look at it. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men. Praise God. So when you are you hearing me? Listen to me. Do you know you can start a ministry today? Look at him and say, start a ministry today. I know when I say start a ministry, now you are thinking of where you're going to get a hall, get microphone, get keyboard, get somebody. No. To serve, to do ministry means to serve. So you can open a ministry after the service. The ministry, let me even suggest the name of ministry for you. Dropping Brethren at Home Ministries Incorporated. Oh, you didn't hear what I said. The name of your ministry is what? Dropping Brethren at Home Ministries Incorporated. So you keep you have your car parked outside. How many people are going to labor quarters after service? Are you understanding what I'm saying? You go to labor quarters and drop and come back before the end of the service. Anybody going to investment? Anybody going to town? You have started ministry. Oh, you didn't hear what I said. You have started ministry. Man, when we say ministry, somebody, people are thinking of a very big thing. 40 days of prayer and fasting to know the name. 70 names of prayer and fasting to choose the pastors. Brother. Hallelujah. And you run away from ministry. Let me help. Let me see if we can define it. Ministry is the use of your time, the use of your energy, the use of your gift. You don't have to use the use. I'm just adding it. Ministry is the use of your time, energy, gift, influence, and resources in order to advance the kingdom of God for the glory of God. Please listen. Ministry is the use of your time, is the use of your energy, the use of your gift, your influence, and resources in order to advance the kingdom of God for the glory of God. Did we get that? So when I use my time to advance the kingdom of God, and I do it for the glory of God, not for the glory of man. Is anybody understanding that? When I use my resources to advance the kingdom of God for the glory of God, not for the glory of man. Now, let me say this. This scripture where we are reading, where the Bible says, as we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. Now, I want you to hear me very well. And I'm going to say something. It will look a bit tough, but please don't be offended. There are some people in the kingdom that have what is called the NGO mentality. You know NGO? Philanthropy. Philanthropy is not ministry. Are you hearing what I'm saying? I'm going to show you. Philanthropy is not ministry. Now, I didn't say philanthropy is bad. Philanthropy is good. But philanthropy is not ministry. So, I see a lot of people, and listen to me, I want you to hear this. I see a lot of people come and say, we want to go and feed 50 widows. And you have 10 widows in church, born again, sisters. You didn't do anything about them. You are a philanthropist. And God will reward you for helping the poor. But the reward of kingdom service will not come to you. Are you hearing what I'm saying? You wake up, you say, I want to go and help 10 people to get school. I want to give scholarship for 10 people to go to school. And there are 3 brethren in church. You didn't do anything about their situation. But you can go outside of the kingdom. What you are doing is philanthropy. It's NGO. It's not ministry. There's nothing wrong with it. But listen to me. There are 2 reasons why it is not ministry. One, ministry can only be done by ministers. You didn't understand. I told you we're a kingdom of kings and of priests. Ministry can only be done by people who are saved. NGO can be done by any other person. Bill Gates is doing it. Every other person can do. Are you hearing what I'm saying? But it takes, are you hearing what I'm saying? And ministry, I will show you, needs the wisdom and the power of God to do ministry. So believers are the people who are most strategically placed to do ministry. Because the end of every ministry must be to bring people to the knowledge of the Lord, must be to bring them to his knowledge and to salvation or discipleship. Are you hearing what I'm saying? So if whatever you are doing that will not bring people to the knowledge of God or of Christ, that will not bring people to salvation, that will not bring people to discipleship, is not ministry, is philanthropy. You better get it. You better get it. Many people are doing many things. Many people are doing many things. Many people, they go to orphan and it is good. But look at what scripture says. Remember to do good to all men, especially those of the household of faith. Which means that even if I'm called to do NGO work, are you hearing me? I must begin it by those in the household of faith. Listen to me. NGO work does not cast out devils. NGO work will not take people to heaven. I said it at the beginning. I said it's good. You can take care of malaria. You can take care of tuberculosis. But listen to me. It will be. Now I'm going to say something that looks somehow. I'll say something that looks somehow. It's better for somebody to die of tuberculosis and go to heaven than to be healed of tuberculosis on earth and go to hell. Are you hearing what I'm saying? It's very important that you understand this reality. Because if you don't understand this reality, you will do a lot of what you call good work. You will do a lot of what is called good work. And you will go to heaven and you will not see the reward that you... Are you hearing what I'm saying? Men will tap you at the back. Men will say well done to you. Are you hearing what I'm saying? You can even better society, but you will not have the reward of ministry. And you will assume you were doing ministry. So ministry must be something that is advancing the kingdom of God, and it must be to the glory of God. That is ministry. Your motive is that God will be glorified when you are done. Are we together, church? Are we? Because see, let me tell you something. Listen, get this. This is what happened when the woman came and was cleaning the feet of Jesus. And Judas woke up and said, we should have sold this thing and given the money to the poor. Jesus responded to her. He said, the poor you have with you always. We don't have all the time for this kingdom to be advanced. Are you hearing what I'm saying? People are dying daily going to hell. We don't have... Are you hearing what I'm saying? Poverty no go finish. No government can erase it. Jesus said, the poor you have with you always. So, in the thing you are doing, you better remember kingdom. What you are doing looks nice. Are you hearing me? It looks nice. Let me even tell you something. As the way the things are going now, many of the things that we are doing, government will be putting more restrictions on it every day. They will define for you what you will do eventually. You better do kingdom. I would rather take water to you in the name of Jesus than just take water to you so that you can drink and feel all right. Oh, you're not getting what I'm saying. Is anybody hearing what I'm saying? Please don't get me. I didn't say you should resign from your NGO job, because right now somebody... I said it's good. It's good work. And it can help society. Are you hearing what I'm saying? And when I say NGO, I'm not referring to any of the NGOs you are working at. I'm just saying a philanthropic mindset. There are people who have a philanthropic mindset. Many of the things that people do, are you hearing me? When God places a grace upon your life, you see these people who are saying, let's go and give, let's go and check for the poor, let's go and help the orphans. Let me tell you, you will find out in scripture that there's a ministry called the ministry of mercy. What is actually, if they check very well, are you hearing me? Please don't get me wrong. I didn't say don't help people. I didn't say don't help people if you are not preaching. I said, help do the ministry. First, you can do other... Are you hearing what I'm saying? What is happening is actually the ministry of mercy. Are you hearing what I'm saying? There are some people that they say they are public speakers. These people who say they are motivational preachers. Go and check. they have the ministry of exhortation. There's a ministry called exhortation. Are you hearing what I'm saying? It's a ministry, it's like a ministry of encouragement. Many people who today are preachers, if you look at the content of their preaching, they are actually exhorters. So every time they come and they begin to speak, you feel encouraged. You just feel encouraged. Some people have taken that, they've made it public speaking. So you will see a good balance of that kind of ministry. You know the guy they call Leke Alder, the owner of Alder Consulting. So he understood that grace. So he is doing ministry, but he's also doing public speaking. Is anybody hearing what I'm saying? And he's not a pastor. He's not carrying the title of pastor. When you see Fela Durotoy, are you hearing what I'm saying? In this case, Fela Durotoy is a pastor. But you can see that, you can see that balance. So many things that you are doing is actually the grace of God that is expressing itself. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Through you. But you have not understood that that thing that you are carrying can be used, or should first and foremost be used, in the kingdom of God to advance the kingdom. Do you know that right now there are many people that have not gone to church this Sunday morning? Do you know many people? I was passing through just one Sunday morning and I saw people playing soccer. Almost every soccer field on a Sunday morning in a city, in a state that prides itself as the number one Christian state in Nigeria. All that the young people were doing was playing. Why don't you go in there and become soccer pastor? The pastor of, no, don't chase them from their playing football club for football. But we can pray before we start. Then when we have midterm, are you hearing what I'm saying? We can lay hands upon the people who are sick. Are you hearing me? When we end the thing, we can have some time of praise, worship, and altar call. And what I'm telling you is, I'm not forming it in my head. I saw it done. Amen. Amen. There are broadly two kinds of ministries. Acts chapter 6 verse 2. Broadly two types of ministry. Acts chapter 6 verse 2. Acts 6 2. Then the 12 called the multitude of the disciples unto them and said, it is not reason, I'll read to 6. It is not reason that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. So listen to me. Next verse. Wherefore, brethren, look ye among you seven men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. So see, there are two major categories of ministry. There's what is called the ministry of serving tables. Is that okay? The ministry of serving tables, or the business side of ministry. What do we mean by business side of ministry? This is the side of ministry where people are engaged in ministry based on their skill, their ability, possibly their influence, position, power. Are you getting my point? Yes. And they deal with the physical aspect of ministry. So, somebody is right now working on this microphone. Is that right? He's ensuring that everybody can hear what is being taught. He's doing ministry. He's advancing the gospel. Are you hearing what I'm saying? After service, the person will, if because of this work he's wearing a suit, he will remove the suit. He will go to his business center. Are you understanding what I'm saying? At his business center, he will use every opportunity that he has to present the gospel to anybody. But his primary place of ministry is to ensure that sound is working. Are you understanding what I'm saying? There's somebody in church right now. His assignment is to bring students from school to church by bus and to take them back. He's doing ministry. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Somebody's on the keyboard right now helping me as I preach. Are you hearing what I'm saying? He's on the keyboard right now. He's doing ministry. It's called the business part, or the physical, or the business of serving tables. And majority of church people are called to this part of ministry. But majority of church people are doing nothing about it. They are doing nothing about it. Please, hello. Tell your neighbor, there is one ministry that is not written in scripture. One ministry. I want you to tell the name of the ministry now. Sitting down ministry. There's nothing like that. There's no ministry called sitting down ministry. There's no ministry like that. That's some people's ministry, sitting down. Hallelujah. Then the apostle said, "We shall give ourselves continually to the ministry of the word and of prayer." So there's the ministry of the word and prayer. Then there's the ministry of serving tables. There's the ministry of serving tables. Every ministry work, whatever ministry work you are doing, every ministry work, whether you are serving tables or you are in the ministry of the word, is a spiritual work. Hallelujah. It's a spiritual work. When you look at it, they said, choose amongst you men of honest report, men of wisdom, and full of the Holy Ghost. That means, sir, you know these guys, they were chosen to serve food. That means that in the kingdom of God, in the church, even to give people food, you need the Holy Ghost. That is why I differentiated it for you from doing philanthropy. Are you hearing what I'm saying? From doing philanthropy to ministry, you must differentiate it. And I'll show you how a man that is filled with the Holy Ghost and power will operate in a ministry that looks mundane, and yet God is glorified through that ministry. Hallelujah. Amen. Ministry, listen to me. Ministry does not begin with a microphone. Ministry begins with what you can do right now. What can you do right now? Let me tell you three things that should usher you into ministry. Number one, what can you do right now? What can you do right now? What is that thing that right now, your time, your resources, your energy, is that okay? Your knowledge, your influence, your resources can help you to do right now. That's how ministry begins. It begins from what you can do right now. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Number two, ministry begins by what is your passion in the kingdom? What is your passion? Ministry begins there. Let me tell you something. Ministry, what brought me to church? I got born again and I stopped. And I got born again. I was in another school. I got born again. Then my parents changed my school. So I went to another school. I was in Form 3. I went to another school. Now, this school that I went to, I came from a what they call boys' college, like state-run boys' college, right? So I was now moved to a federal government college. And in our day, Federal Government College was school of big boys. So they took me to Federal Government College. When I got to Federal Government, I said, no, I will not let them know I'm born again. In this school, I'll just do life. So there were some girls in my class. Every day they will invite me to fellowship. Every day. One day, I decided to go for the fellowship. Actually, they caught me passing around where the fellowship was. They saw me through the window. So they went and said, fellowship is going on. Come inside. I went to the fellowship. The fellowship looked nice. What? They decorated at our level. Are you getting my point? Yeah. So me and Hussein, we were in school together. So at our level, you know what I'm talking about. They decorated it nice. They put lights. They put. That was what attracted me to. It was not God. It was. That was what attracted me to church. My life didn't change again. So when I became president of fellowship, you know now, the largest went to decorating church. Maybe you come to church and you lifted up your eyes and you saw cobweb. And throughout the service, your eye kept going to that cobweb. They were preaching, you were looking at the cobweb. They were clapping hands, you were looking at that cobweb. And you were angry in your spirit. Is there nobody here to clean this cobweb? That is your ministry. Listen to me. Once you make an observation, you have an obligation. Are you hearing what I'm saying? You can sit down and be, you know, let me tell you something. Nothing offends me in church like the people who come into service and do like this. So who are you expecting to clean it? Is anybody hearing what I'm saying? I say, is anybody hearing what I'm saying in church? So once you make an observation, you have an obligation. Once you make an observation, you have an obligation. That's where ministry starts. Let's look at Romans chapter 12, verse 6. Romans chapter 12, verse 6. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that has been given to us, whether it is prophecy, let us prophesy, according to the proportion of faith, or ministry, let us wait on our ministry, or he that teacheth on teaching, or he that exhorteth on exhortation, he that giveth, let him do it with simplicity, he that ruleth with diligence, he that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. Look at the combination of different things the Bible calls ministry. It calls showing mercy ministry. There are some people who have compassion. It is ministry. There are people that their ministry is giving. That's their ministry. The Bible says he that giveth, he should do it with simplicity. That it should come normal. Praise God. Ministry begins with what you can find to do. Ministry begins with what you observe. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Nehemiah went before the king. And Nehemiah was not a minister. He wasn't the man that wrote the story of the book of Nehemiah. The man was not a pastor. In fact, if you read Amos made a very interesting statement. Amos said, I am not a prophet, and my father was not a prophet. But the Lord spoke to me and said, hear ye the voice of the Lord. So the guy, he said, what did he say? He said, I'm a farmer or something. A sheep herder. He said, I am not a prophet. Neither was my father a prophet. But I was a sheep herder. But I heard the voice of the Lord. Tonight, I want you, listen to me. The Bible says today, if you hear his voice, harden not your heart. As you are hearing what God is speaking today, harden not your heart. Hardness of the heart does not mean that I'm stubborn. Hardness of the heart means that I heard and I took no action about what God said. Are you hearing what I'm saying tonight? Today, if you hear his voice, harden not your heart. It begins by what you can do. It begins by what you observe. It begins by the burdens God puts in your heart. You come around and something doesn't just sit right for you. Are you hearing what I'm saying? You come around and you are seeing children going to Sunday school. And you are saying, Kai, these children, who is taking care of them? That's God speaking to your heart. There's a ministry that is being birthed there. Let me say this. Ministry is not the departments that have been established. Ministry is the thing that God is tugging at your heart about. It's what God is tugging at your heart about. In the real way, ministry is birthed. It's not an announcement on pulpit. It's somebody that comes and begins to do that thing. And other people see him doing it and they join him to do it. That's ministry. You don't need somebody to anoint you to do the ministry. Find out a place where a need exists in the body and go into that place. That is ministry. Is anybody hearing me this morning? That is ministry. Ministry is anything you use your time, your influence, your resource, your gift, your ability to advance the kingdom of God. And for the glory of God, you are doing ministry. You are doing ministry. Many of us, I never thought I'd be a pastor. And go and ask people who ended up in ministry. Up to today, my friends used to joke at me. I told them, I said, I have always wanted to do business. So my friends call me now. They say, congratulations, MD. You have two businesses. So if I say which business, they'll say Gateway Christian Center and something. They joke with me at it because I never thought I would be in ministry. I never thought I would be here. I would be here in this form of ministry. I didn't think about it like that. Ministry begins somewhere. Faithfulness in that ministry lifts you up. He who is faithful in that which is little will also be faithful in that which is great. Because of time, I'm not going to go into some things. Stephen started with serving tables. The next time we hear about Stephen, he was casting out demons, but he was still serving tables. There's a doctor I know. He's a medical doctor. He came to Bauchi here. And some of you may know him. He came to Bauchi here. He ended up as the MD of Steyr Motors before Steyr Motors closed down. I had gone to see him for a medical concern before. That guy was a doctor with the Holy Ghost. I got to Bauchi. I traveled from Makurdi to Bauchi. By the time I got to Bauchi, I was having pain. You know, I was having pains all around my rib cage. I was just having pain. So, in the morning, a friend of mine said, "Let's go and see Dr. Ajibola." So we went to see him. As we went to see him, I was telling him, I told him, I said, "I'm having pains here." Dr. Ajibola looked at me and said, "You traveled and air entered into your this." He was doing medicine with word of knowledge. So I met another lady who had met him one time. She said, she was having an infection and they did everything. They took her to him. He said, you went for a particular wedding. And how he became MD. The person that was MD, when he came in as a copper, and then he grew in the ranks. The person that was MD when he was in one particular role, the man traveled home for Christmas. And when the man went home for Christmas, he got an infection and the leg swole up. So the man came back and he just went to greet his oga, normal greetings. And he noticed his leg. So he said, "Sir, what is this thing? He said that he has done everything, and that the leg just kept swelling like that. The guy goes home and prays about the situation. Around 1 a.m., they took the man's samples. They didn't see anything. Around 1 a.m., the Holy Spirit tapped Dr. Ajibola, said, "Go to your oga's house, go and take sample." He calls the oga, said, "I'm coming to your house now." The oga said, "Okay, come." He came, he took the sample. When they put it under microscope, here was the thing that was happening. When that oga was leaving, he jumped 4 people and submitted the name of Dr. Ajibola. Start with what you have. Start with where you are. God has something great for you in your future. The gift of a man will make way for him, and it will bring him before kings and not mere men. Don't play with the ministry that God is giving you. Don't play with the things that look little, that look like it doesn't matter. Are you hearing me? Because God has a plan. God has a purpose. God has a future. Through your ministry, God will bring you before great men. Let's stand to our feet this morning.
Gateway Christian Center. Experience life.